All right, now we're going to get started into the meat of what we're here for these next couple of days. We're going to talk about some basic leadership qualities. And I think what you're going to see by the time we're done tomorrow, that this, maybe in college we might call this a survey, or maybe Leadership 101, because we're not really going to go into a lot of depth on most of these topics, but we want to introduce these to you and maybe cause you to think about the ones where you might have a desire to look into further, to seek some additional training. And I don't know what Brother Terry has in mind for the future for SMART training, but if enough interest seems to arise in a particular topic, he may decide that, well, we need to develop something in that particular arena. But for the next few hours, we're going to talk about leadership styles. You may have a personal style about yourself, and that's good, but what we're going to talk about are leadership styles to deal with specific areas. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about effective listening, and just because you hear someone doesn't mean that you're listening to them. Hearing and listening mean two different things, and we're going to talk about that. Constructive feedback, with the emphasis being on constructive. Feedback is important, whether it's positive or negative, and it's something that a leader has to do. It may be one of those unpleasant things that we do, but we are expected because we're the leader. We're going to talk about leading group discussions. Now, that's a little different because that's where the leader pulls back into the group and participates as part of the group, but still retains the role of leader. And we're going to talk about conflict management. I think all of you probably know that where two or more people are working together on the same thing, there will be conflict. I think back to Fox River Valley Baptist Church. I was just a young green believer, and I had this utopian vision of ministry, and I was just sure that nobody ever argued, that there was never any conflict, that all of these God-fearing leaders were on the same page. And of course, later on, I find out that there's all kinds of conflict going on in the background. And so we're going to talk about conflict management. And then we're going to talk about how to lose that leadership. And when we go through that, it's to help you think about ways to... Let me share this with you. I remember working for a person early in my career, and it was not a pleasant experience, but I look back on it now and I thank God for the opportunity, because I learned what not to do as a manager. So there was value even in that unpleasant three-year assignment. Leadership styles. Now, people in leadership positions may use a variety of different styles in reaching a decision. And these styles are going to differ in the amount of participation that you allow from those that you work with, the amount of confidence that you have in your group, the amount of trust that you have in the group to act in a responsible manner, the amount of confidence that you have in yourself, or maybe you might have a little fear of losing control of the group, the nature of the task that you're asking your group to work on, the objectives that you have set out for the group to accomplish, and then the ethics or the values of the leader. Now, I'm going to show you five different leadership styles, and these are not all inclusive. There are probably lots more, but we're going to talk about five, and as a means to help you think about the fact that there is no one-size-fits-all, that there are different ways to make decisions. Style number one is where you decide alone. Now, this is appropriate in a lot of situations. As the boss, that's basically one of the things that you're getting paid to do, is to make decisions. And you do this without discussing the situation with anyone. You have some written information, you have some knowledge that you've gained through other means, and it's what you think, it's all you need, and you make the decision, and you move on. Number two, You seek information, and then you decide alone. So that means that you go out and you find one or two people in the group, and you may or may not give them a lot of information about the particular problem, but you get what you ask them for, and then you go back to your office, and you decide. And then you move on. Style number three, you consult with individuals, and then you decide alone. And that just simply means that you go out and you talk to more than a couple of key individuals. You talk to a few more people. You share a little bit more information about the issue and or the conflict or whatever it is. You even ask for their advice on possible solutions, but you still go back to your office and you decide. Number four, you consult with the entire group, but you still decide alone. So you go out, you call the whole group in, you lay out what the problem is, and you're going to use them as consultants. You bounce it off of them, and you ask for their advice, their inputs, but ultimately you gather all that information, you go back to your office, and you still make the decision on your own. And then finally, you share the entire problem with the group, and you ask the group to help you make a decision. Now, this doesn't necessarily fit in a lot of situations, but there are situations where you as a leader would gain by using this. For example, you're going to Pastor Cross is going to change the floor covering in the sanctuary or the main auditorium. And he doesn't want to decide alone, so he calls in his entire staff. And he says, we're going to make a group decision. And he lays it out, and he maybe talks about budget or whatever the specific issues are. And they, as a group, decide what they're going to do. And at the end of that meeting, when you as the leader exit and people ask you about what was decided, you don't say, I decided, or you don't say, they decided. It's we decided. We looked at the problem, we examined all of the possibilities, and we made a decision. Now remember, no single leadership style is always the appropriate style to use. There is no one size fits all. You can't be the little dictator and always pound the table with your fist and say, this is what we're going to do because I'm the boss and that's what I decided. There are other ways to achieve acceptable results when you're looking to make decisions. Now, this next thing here, I want to share with you that when Brother Terry and I started talking about this, and I unloaded a whole lot of information on him and said, here, take a look at this. And he did, and a number of, months later, I forget how long it was, he gave it back to me with a lot of lines and things and comments. And when I took the packet back from him and I started to look at it and I was reading his comments, I'm thinking, there's a lot of value in what this man's saying because it is based upon his experience of 20 plus years in the field doing missionary work. So what I did was I took Terry's notes, and that's what I'm calling them in the material, and when you look at this from the server, you're going to see them highlighted in yellow, and they're simply titled Terry's Notes. So what I'd like to do is read those verbatim and then ask Brother Terry if he'd like to add to those. If not, then we'll just move right on. But in this one, it says, understanding these different styles and when to use them would be especially helpful with a missionary's initial role as the sole ministry leader, and then again later when he needs to train others, when he needs to train other leaders and to place them in leadership roles. And this is specific to these leadership styles. Any additional comments?
Just, I think my thoughts when I penned that note were based on the fact that when we're in a foreign culture, that we know what we would do in an American situation, but in a foreign culture that we end up, that there are different cues and different values that they that are very important to them. So we need to have some flexibility rather than just being the table pounder or the chair kicker. This is the way that we do it, especially if we want to train indigenous leaders that can function well within their indigenous structure.
Okay. Anybody have anything to add to that, based on your experience?
I think the key to what that is to define in your own heart and mind the biblical principles and biblical authority, which of course does not change, but also recognizing God's wisdom in planting indigenous churches. That's a huge difference. We're not going anywhere to plant American churches. They need to reflect the culture and the people, but with biblical principle. And I think they have that clear definition and in mind is essential.
Thank you. I noticed that, for myself, I can tell you that sitting and listening to someone with a voice like mine, I'm probably going to tend to wander off. So if you feel the need to stand, please feel free to do so. If you want to wander back and get a cup of coffee or whatever, that won't bother me at all. Now, one more thing to remember. The leader, and that's you in your role, never gives up the authority or the responsibility for the final decision. Whether you make it alone or you make it with the group, you take responsibility for that decision. Now we're going to talk about listening and how to be an effective listener. Now, to be an effective listener, an effective leader, as I said earlier, you have to be an effective listener. Being an effective listener is a key, if not the major key component of being an effective communicator. There are a few simple rules and considerable practice that can help you become an effective listener. I remember years ago when I was first exposed to this concept, it really didn't make much sense to me. I thought, I'm a good listener. I'm married, I have to be a good listener. But little did I know, I wasn't very good at it at all. And then later on, when my daughters became teenagers, I realized that I was really a lousy listener. The effective listening will not only help you improve your ability to communicate, it will also improve your leadership skills. The leader who learns to listen will project an image of interest to team members, and that will in turn motivate those team members to become more productive. Everybody is eager and hungry to share their ideas, but they're only going to do it when they know that the leader is listening. Now, there are some principles, and I hope this is relatively small print. I hope it'll come through on the screens good enough. These are some basic listening principles that we can learn to live with. Listening is an active process which demands constant concentration. And that's something that I wish I had learned when my girls were going through their teenage years. You cannot be a lazy or a part-time listener and hope to be an effective listener. You have to concentrate. Don't make prior judgments as to the importance of the message being transmitted. If you fail to recognize the importance of the message, you may have the tendency to disregard the content. If you cannot hear the speaker clearly, then change things to make sure that you can hear them clearly. Close the door, turn off the TV, whatever it takes. Make the situation such that you can clearly hear what's being said. And you need to listen to the complete message and determine the meaning rather than making snap judgments before the message is completed. And I was, and probably still am, bad at this one today, especially when I'm dealing with loved ones. I'm perhaps a little more patient with folks outside the family. Maybe that's because of my professional training. But I really, there are days when I look back on conversations I've had with my, even though my daughters are adult, as I told Pastor, you know, she's 42 years old, but in my mind's eye, she's this big. She will always be my little girl. And unfortunately, there are times when I still treat her as my little girl. Don't formulate a response until the message is transmitted in its entirety. The ineffective listener will formulate his or her response before the speaker finishes, and then we interrupt them because we're so anxious to get to what we want to say. I'm done listening to you. Here's what you need to know. You need to clarify the message to make sure that you understand what the speaker is saying to you. You need to listen not only to the words being transmitted, but to the essence of the message being communicated. And then you need to be aware of the nonverbals. Learning about how to spot and understand nonverbal communications is a training that I need to continue getting. Oftentimes, people will come into, did come into my office, and they will have a practiced delivery that they're going to share with me. And you can tell it's somewhat rehearsed, but I watch their nonverbals. Maybe the tone in their voice, or if they're squirming as they're talking, or they don't look at me, they're looking over here. You know there's something going on that's deeper than what their words are expressing. So be aware of the nonverbals. There are two simple tools that can help us become better communicators and better listeners: confirmation and clarification. It's important to know that you understand what's being transmitted. You may have been listening, but you may not have heard what was being transmitted. Confirmation should be used when you feel like you understand exactly what was said and why the message was transmitted. Confirmation is especially important if you disagree with what the person is saying to you, or if they're asking you to commit to something. You certainly want to confirm to make sure that you know what they said, to make sure they know that you know what they said. For example, you're a committee chairperson, and you're making plans for a community banquet at your school, and you're talking to Mary, and Mary says to you, "It's not that I don't want to go to the banquet, I just don't have the money. I've had some money problems recently, so I just can't afford it." So you feel you understand what Mary said and why, and you feel that Mary has money problems, but you want to make sure that you understand correctly. So you say to Mary, "Let me see if I understand correctly. You want to attend the banquet, but due to money problems, you don't feel that you can. Is that correct?" So all you've done is confirm what Mary has said. Mary now has the opportunity to agree or disagree with you, and she can also see that you've understood and that you're listening to her. Now assume you're the leader of a selection committee, and the committee is discussing criteria for selecting missionaries. I made one specific, to attend a training conference in London, Kentucky. Enthusiasm is high, and many missionaries want to go, but your missionary board president has given you the responsibility for selecting one missionary from each region to attend. And so John says, I think we've got to decide tonight so that they can get busy making plans. I think only second-year missionaries should be allowed to go. This is our last chance, and the others will have another year. So how would you respond to John using confirmation? Remember, don't assume that you understand. You're confirming the message. Brother Mike, you used to have employees.
So-and-so, or it means only these four people are eligible.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You're simply confirming back to the speaker to make sure that you're both on the same page. So that's confirmation. Now, clarification is used when you don't understand. Remember, confirmation is when you do understand. You know what they said and you're just going to confirm it back. Clarification is when you don't understand what's being transmitted or you're not certain of the speaker's motives. And so you're talking to Gene, and Gene says, "Believe me, I don't want to get out of being on our parliamentary procedure team, but it'll be the best for everyone if I do." Now, you use clarification. You might respond to Gene by saying, "Gene, I don't think I understand what you mean. Please explain it to me." So you're not sure what she means. You're asking her to clarify so that you will then know what to do next. You're trying to be an effective listener. So you note that the listener here, as the listener, you're making no judgments, no assumptions. You want to understand what Gene is saying before responding to what she's saying. And that's an effective listener. You don't respond until you know what's being transmitted to you. To answer prior to understanding does not demonstrate good leadership skills.
Brother Wayne, when you get to a stopping point,
yes,
break.
We're almost there.
Brother Wayne, if I can just put
yes.
an exclamation point here.
Sure.
I think this is especially important when you have intercultural conflict.
Yes.
You don't
yeah.
understand the culture.
Yeah. If you assume that they understand in American English, then you're going to make a lot of mistakes. All right, so how would you use clarification to respond to Jack? When Jack says, the election was rigged, you knew Marcos wouldn't have a chance to be elected. So how would you use clarification to respond to Jack? Anyone? Okay, very good. You don't want to be threatening. You're just trying to understand. You want him to clarify. So being an effective listener requires practice. Something that I've learned over the years, and sometimes it was difficult learning, but it takes a lot of practice. In fact, when we were working down here, and Brother Terry would ask me to do something, on a number of occasions, I wasn't quite sure what he was asking me to do, and I would go and ask him to please clarify, make sure that I understand what it is you want me to do. Because in woodworking, once you've cut that piece of wood, it's cut. So being an effective listener requires practice, something that you really need to be willing to do. It allows you the opportunity to, leadership allows you the opportunity to practice your listening skills. Being a parent allows you the opportunity to practice your listening skills. Being a spouse allows you the opportunity to practice those skills. And when people feel that you're interested in their ideas and you're willing to consider those ideas, they'll respond very positively to you. Terry's notes, verbatim. Effective leader equals effective listener. Listening is half of communicating. Effective listener equals effective communicator. The Bible has much to say about effective listening, i.e. Proverbs 18:13, don't answer a matter before you hear it. That's a paraphrase.